saving money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, all. I hope you're all having a brilliant start to the week. Thank you so much, as ever, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Your input is gigantically appreciated. I really wanted to start with this story. It's been going around everywhere for the past 3 weeks. Harley Davidson's woes. Harley Davidson, and I say this as a huge fan of the brand, they need a redirection really quickly because these sales figures on their website are seriously grim reading across the board, regardless of where you are in the world. Probably the scariest thing for me if I were Harley Davidson is the core customer. Everything starts in the USA with Harley Davidson. You need to at least get that right. And as a peak from 2021 of 126,000 sales in the USA, now down to 94,000, something must change. Their CEO, of course, the German gentleman, ex-CEO of Puma, he's now gone. They've got a 440cc bike that's coming out in India. So maybe these are the first little signs that something will change. But for a brand that's at the moment got an image problem, the two things that Americans always tell me, and this will be mirrored, I'm sure, in different parts of the world, Harley-Davidsons are seen as bikes for older riders. And also, this is specific to the USA, I think, they're also seen by bikes favored by gang members. But if we just focus on the older rider part, that's really the part that Harley Davidson can control. Harley Davidson need to appeal to younger audience. Great. Their cheapest bike right now is the Nightster at £14,500. That is the cheapest motorcycle that Harley Davidson make, if we exclude the 440cc bike that's coming only to India. That £14,500 is £1,300 more than Triumph's most expensive retro motorbike, the Speedmaster. It's more expensive than the most expensive Triumph retro. So there is nothing that Harley Davidson offer for anyone considering getting into biking. So they're picking up no new riders at all. They've made themselves an exclusively premium brand. And that never used to be the case with the old air-cooled Sportsters. They would always have something that's at least moderately attainable. So for a brand that wants to change their image, they've literally gone the exact opposite way from their marketing. I do not get it. And then, of course, even worse, this is critical. The Livewire, the electric brand under the Harley Davidson umbrella. Things now are at such a stage with Livewire, it cannot get any worse at all. Look at these sales figures. If I get this up on the investor.livewire.com site, that is 33. I almost can't believe this is true. It's 33 motorcycles have been sold in the first quarter of 2025. That's January, February, March. That's 90 days, give or take, with 33 motorbikes sold. That is one motorbike sold worldwide once every 3 days. And I think Harley Davidson, they can be to an extent congratulated for at least trying it, but it's an experiment that doesn't work. The amount of losses that Livewire are having now, it's unsustainable. Investor.livewire.com says, the company's consolidated net loss was $19.3 million for the first quarter of 2025. You cannot sustain those kind of losses. And there is nothing there in the stats, the sales figures, that shows that anything is going to improve. But if you look a bit more closely, in my eyes at least, it's quite obvious. The Del Mar, for example, it's a £17,500 electric motorbike with a range of 113 miles. In reality, that's 80 miles on the motorway. And it takes 78 minutes to charge for that 113-mile range. And that sounds fairly bad, but it's far worse than that. Because actually, if you read the small print, it's 78 minutes to charge from 20 to 80%. So it's 78 minutes to charge just 60% of the battery. And of course, you're not going to get 113 miles range. You're probably in reality going to get closer to 90 miles range. So that means that over 78 minutes of charging, you're probably only in reality going to get a range of about 52 miles for a bike that you spent £17,500 on. Unfortunately, if you look at those figures, it's just crystal clear why it won't work and why it continues to not work. Harley, they have to bring back an air-cooled Sportster at maximum £12,000. And on top of that, it's over for Livewire. I truly believe it. I think they have to ditch it. Things fail in business all the time, and unfortunately, Livewire is just one of these experiments that hasn't worked. It's unsustainable now. And for anyone that says they can't bring back an air-cooled Sportster, I would simply say they're not trying hard enough. You can do anything if you try hard enough, and if the desire is there, of course they can bring it back. And I wouldn't be surprised if an air-cooled Sportster's back within 2 years. I really believe that. Just to give some comparison here, some relativity, of course they're different ends of the spectrum, but listen to this from Royal Enfield. We know it's far more on the affordability end of the spectrum, but it's interesting to hear this. Royal Enfield have just surpassed 1 million motorcycle sales in the year up to the 31st of March 2025. 1 million. What's even more incredible about this? Probably the most successful turnaround in the history of motorcycling is that back in 2021, global sales for Royal Enfield, this is just 4 years ago, 112,000. There has never, ever been a success story like this in motorcycling, not at that scale, surely, not even when the Japanese took over everything in the 1960s and 70s. In March alone, here's a figure for you. In March alone, Royal Enfield sold 101,000 units. That, give or take 1,000, is exactly the same amount of motorcycles that Harley-Davidson sold in the entire year in North America. That's Canada and the USA. And if we look at a more premium end of the spectrum, Triumph Motorcycles. In May 2025, I believe that Triumph Motorcycles, and this is almost unthinkable, are going to overtake Harley-Davidson with global sales figures. In 2024, Triumph Motorcycles sold 134,000 motorcycles. I believe that's only about 20,000 less than Harley-Davidson. That's a 35% increase on the previous year. And interestingly, and this is key, in the American regions, sales for Triumph motorbikes are up 44%. Because people are now looking over in the US, well, I traditionally would have gone for a Harley-Davidson, but now the Royal Enfields, the Triumphs, are starting to become more appealing to Americans. Americans are identifying more with the likes of Triumph than they are Harley-Davidson. TriumphMediaKits.com state this: since 2019, sales of Triumph motorbikes have increased by 123%. Well, there are some figures for you. We'll move on now to the pure art of road tripping, Australian style. There's nothing I love more than reading about Aussie road trips. Pictures included here. Freddie, I just got back on Sunday from a three-day off-road ride. We covered 350 kilometers a day and some pretty snotty riding. The navigation was top-notch, the pace wasn't crazy, and accommodation very good. The average age for seven of us was 62 years old, youngest being 52 and the oldest being 73. We were riding around the Victorian High Country, mostly enduro and light adventure bikes, except for one KTM 890. First night at a historic gold mining town of Woods Point, and the second night, an old pub in Ensay. Unfortunately, I had two offs in 2 days. First, my front tire got a pinch flat from a dented front rim, which completely washed out the front in a corner. The next day, I hit a wallaby, which is a small kangaroo doing 60 kilometers an hour. I killed the wallaby and my tough Honda CRF 300 Rally was beaten up, but still good enough to ride home. I came out of it not too bad, swollen left ankle, bruised right knee and upper thigh, and sore left shoulder. Paul from Australia. Paul, I hope you've recovered now, but memories to last a lifetime, having a look at those pictures. That is fantastic. It's these kind of things that desperately make me want to get a little dual sport bike just to add to the Bonneville. I think that'd be the perfect match. Matthias, now, here's a story for you. This will tug at the heartstrings for a lot, I'm sure. Take a listen. Freddie, I've been riding since I was 16 years old. My first bike was a Honda CBR125R, an absolute brilliant starter bike that I took up and down central Germany. Since then, I've moved to the UK to live with my partner in 2016, which meant it was time to sell my Honda CBR125R. But unfortunately, a couple of months after, I lost my father in a horrific motorcycle accident. My dad had an absolutely stunning Honda CBR650F from 2015. This was, of course, devastating to me, and it did take me quite a while to get the itch again to ride. So while my partner was still, and still is, worried about me riding, I didn't think that my father's death would have an impact on me riding. However, in 2020, I decided to get a Kawasaki Z900 on PCP deal. I bought all brand new gear and was super excited to get back to riding. When I picked up the bike to ride at home, I was nervous, but not overly so. Once I started riding, though, I had a panic attack, and the 5 mile ride home took me over half an hour as I had to stop multiple times. After this, it didn't get much better. I rode the bike multiple times around the neighborhood and through the nearby town. However, I never felt confident and was driving slowly and overly on edge. 4 years later, over £7,000 spent in PCP costs and a mere 120 miles covered in that period. I gave the bike back to the dealership, feeling deep regret for the waste of money, but even more so, how had I lost all my confidence and joy in riding? I'm still watching a lot of motorcycle content and would love to get back to it, but I do not know how to ever overcome the trauma of my dad's accident. Any advice? Highly appreciated. Matthias. Matthias, firstly, I'm so sorry to hear that. The answer in my mind, you were, as I was reading this out in my head when I first got it a few days ago, there was one bike that I thought, this is the one that will tick all of the boxes that will get you back into biking. You need to get a bike, in my eyes, that will bring back the simple pleasures of riding. Not the thrill of riding from a speed point of view. Just step it back a bit and just focus on the freedom that being on two wheels gives you. Nothing intimidating. Not just nothing intimidating from a speed point of view, but nothing intimidating from a size point of view. We're going to be looking here at a modest size motorcycle, which is comfortable, where you can just sit up, enjoy everything around you, and soak it in without any intimidation factor at all. On top of this, I can see that, of course, both yourself and your dad have loved Japanese motorcycles. Your dad with the Honda, and you with the Honda and the Kawasaki. So I want to continue in that vein. A Japanese bike, compact, easy to live with, not intimidating, and something that just doesn't promote any kind of necessity for speed, something that's just so laid back. Matthias, I give you, I wonder if you can guess what it is, Kawasaki W800. Welcome, Matthias, to a completely new way of riding. One of the biggest things for me, being lucky enough to ride lots of different bikes, is how important it is and how instrumental it is to your psyche and the way you ride, the kind of bike that you buy. Going from a faster bike like the Z900 all the way down to a bike with under half the horsepower and far physically smaller, Matthias, I think there's a chance this may transform the way you feel about motorbikes. Take a look at this one I found for you, Matthias. This is on This one's on eBay, actually. 2016 Kawasaki W800, under £4,000. I also want to keep it cheap for you. Don't go and overstretch yourself from a financial point of view, because if you overstretch yourself financially, Matthias, you're going to be feeling like you have to get out on the bike. Like, you owe the bike something, you owe yourself something, because it's a waste of money if you spend a lot on a motorbike and don't use it. The joy of a cheapish motorcycle is that you get rid of that financial burden, both from a bank account point of view and also from an emotive point of view. So you can leave a bike like this in a garage. If you don't feel like using it for 3 to 6 months, it's okay. It's not going to lose you a penny in money. And at 47 horsepower, just jump on, pootle around, smell everything around you, soak in the scenery. Matthias, let me know. I've got a very good, positive feeling that this could be the bike for you. And hopefully, I really mean it, Matthias, I hope we'll come back to biking. This is leading on exactly to my bike of the week, but I will start over in the USA. From Elisa, the rider who took her Royal Enfield Classic 350 to a Royal Enfield dealership in the USA over in Vegas, and they charged her $800, or they quoted her $800 for that first service. And Elisa, rightly so, was thinking, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's a simple basic bike, and an $800 service for really a brand new bike with nothing that's going to be wrong with it, no big work that's needed to be doing to it, is borderline obscene. And it seems that the vast majority of Americans strongly agree with this. The interesting points I got from seeing all of the feedback from the American riders is that you will get some dealerships that just are borderline unethical with how much money they charge. But also, the costs of everything in the USA are getting so much now that, especially for simple bikes like Royal Enfield, they almost lend themselves to be DIY worked on, especially with the short service intervals of Royal Enfield, coupled with the fact they're very simple motorbikes. There is no brand that lends itself more to being a DIY mechanic, just doing the basics of the servicing yourself. But I will read one point out from Mark. Freddie, this is a mid-American here regarding the Royal Enfield 350 $800 service from last week. That is highway robbery. I help out at the number one Royal Enfield dealer in North America, and it charges less than half that. Royal Enfield corporate in Milwaukee need to be contacted by these customers. It's a very good point, quite a few of you make. This isn't specifically Royal Enfield's fault. It's the dealers that look after a lot of the Royal Enfield bikes, quoting obscene prices. So the blame shouldn't necessarily be put onto Royal Enfield. It's just that certain dealerships within the USA are trying to get away with as much as they physically can, charging-wise, for servicing. And Elisa actually gets back in touch as well. Freddie, you read my comment out about the $800 initial tune-up. $800 for an initial tune-up of my Royal Enfield Classic 350. I think it's about to sell. I showed it to a heavily tattooed Harley rider. Remember this, because this now leads on to my bike of the week. This is a sign of the times. I showed it to a heavily tattooed Harley Davidson rider. He plans to turn it into a bobber. He showed me pics of one done by a fellow rider in his club. A new seat, a bobbed fender, bare front wheel, and voila, Royal Enfield bobber. Remember that. Elisa, good luck selling your bike, and it's such a shame that Royal Enfield ownership didn't work out, but thank you for giving me that update. Leading on perfectly, bike of the week. Freddie, I'm a longtime watcher and equal fan of the Royal Enfield Classic 350. I bought one after watching your videos last year. Having ridden bikes for 15 years and owned an array of bikes from Bandit 1200s to Lexmoto 125s, at 34 years old, I no longer care for speed. Style and comfort is everything now. I've longed for an easy rider style bike and adventure. When looking for a suitable bike to start my build, I really struggled with price. And well, I'm not mechanically inclined in the slightest. And I started thinking about the earlier American choppers. What did they use? Why did they use those bikes? Well, they used Harley Davidsons. And the reason being, because they were cheap and because they were in excess. But what is cheap and in excess right now? Well, certainly not Harley Davidsons. It's Royal Enfield Meteors. you can pick up a pre-reg Meteor. This is absolutely obscene, Paul. You can pick up a pre-reg, in essence, brand new motorbike that was just registered last year from the dealer, no miles at all, at my local MotoGP dealer for £2,999. Brand new. Block Capitals, brand new. That's with 3 years warranty, 3 years roadside assistance. So I took a bank holiday trip 500 kilometres around Wales in a day, over the horseshoe, down to Pen y Pass on the Classic. And I can't think of a better engine than the J-Series 350 for this. So I've taken a look, and you can saw shorter mudguards. It's like a carbon copy of what Aliza was saying. Shorter mudguards, mini ape hangers, classic bobber style wheels for about £1,000 for all of those parts. The only thing I can't source is a decent easy fit seat or sissy bar. If anyone knows, put in the comments and I'll read some of those out. But if you take the modification parts and the brand new bike itself, £4,000. £4,000. Paul says, why is not everyone doing this? Anyway, enough of my rambling. I've attached an AI rendering of the bike with the parts I can source, and I think it's a beeping boss. What do you think? All it needs is for Wingman of the Road to give me a tent, that's wishful thinking, and stick it on the back for a trip. Paul, and that, Paul, is Bike of the Week. Let's just get this up now for you to prove that you can get it. There it is, easily found. £2,999 for brand new Meteor. I'm blown away. Look at that thing. The stance, everything about it with those spoked wheels, the 8 bars. That looks absolutely phenomenal. And what a place to end. Thank you so much, everyone, for getting in touch. And I really hope you enjoyed the video. Have a fantastic week all. I'll see you all in the next one.